Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Warning, 30 screams or less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called The Conjuring: Last Rites. It's directed by Michael Chavez, written by Ian Goldberg, Richard Nying, and David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. What a lot of names there. Okay. Starring Patrick Wilson as Ed Warren, Vera Farmiga as Lorraine Warren, and Mia Tomlinson as Judy Warren. The plot of the movie is ghosts and shit. No, it's paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren take on one last terrifying case involving mysterious entities they must confront. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with beard octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com. Use code 30screams10. Get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of The Conjuring: Last Rites?
I really don't think we're going to see eye to eye here because I feel like you like this movie, but this was painfully mid. I've supported The Conjuring universe since day one, but if this was supposed to be the grand finale for Ed and Lorraine, then somebody seriously fucked up. Although I did hear they might be doing a prequel, but I honestly don't give a shit.
We already had prequels. The Annabelle series.
Yeah, but they're supposed to do like... Ed and Lorraine Warren, maybe like as teenagers or when they started or some shit.
When Ed meets Lorraine, like Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, that's what it's called, actually.
Oh, God. What are they going to make a prequel and call it The Mirror?
So, yeah. Either way, I don't care.
I don't know. I don't care either. So I didn't like this. It's unfortunate because I have supported the Conjuring series for, you know, since the beginning. The first one was a banger. The second one was equally as good. And
yeah.
And even the third one is pretty decent.
I even like the Annabelle movies, and I liked, was it La Llorona?
Yeah, La Llorona, or...
La Llorona.
The Nurse. No, not The Nurse. What's it called?
The Nun.
The Nun, thank you. The Nun.
I saw that one. I saw that in theaters. That one was fucking awesome.
Yeah, they were all pretty awesome in their own right. So we expected at least on par. I mean, we weren't expecting it to be a friggin' masterpiece or anything like that. We expected the fucking hits, right? We expected, All right, we're going to go into this thing, and we're going to see a solid Conjuring movie. We're going to see Ed and Lorraine doing their thing, and there's going to be a really fucked up house, considering it's like their last, what is it, last...
investigation.
Last investigation, the one that ended it all, that we were going to get a little bit more chaos than usual, which I'm like, okay, I'm all for this. Let's end it with a bang. And it ended with, like, you know those guns... that, like, the fake trick guns,
Yeah, like the Joker used.
Yeah, with the flag that comes out. Bang. That's kind of how this movie.
There was no bang, though.
No, it was like, boom, and just... and the flag comes
out. It was like that. It was like that flower that the Joker wore in his, you know, in his jacket that he squeezed it or did whatever he did, and it squirts water.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, boo, there's no poison or acid. What is this bullshit? So that's what we thought of this movie. So this movie, I feel, doesn't really have focus to it. It's really kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
It's, I mean, it's the story basically, it's more about Judy and her basically being dead as an infant. So we had almost a dead kid in the movie.
Almost. We were so close.
Almost. But almost. I was expecting a little bit more from this story. So basically the way it starts off is that Lorraine is pregnant. And by the way, Lorraine and Ed, like the actor and actress that played them two in their earlier years, I thought they did a really solid pick in casting for that.
Yeah, not only that, but acting wise, obviously, but they looked like them. Mm-hmm.
They did.
They looked like Vera and Patrick.
Yeah, and that's awesome because you don't have to do that weird de-aging thing.
Yeah.
Which sometimes it works. Sometimes it's, you know, you're putting a backwards hat on Tobin Bell. You know?
Oh, geez.
Or like long hair on Dexter. I see these all the time and it fucking kills me. They just think that's their way of de-aging people.
Yeah, let's just give him long hair.
Yeah, just give Dexter, you know, long hair and no one's the wiser. Everyone's like, oh yeah, that's a younger version of him. So... we start off with Lorraine's pregnant. They go into like this antiques place and there's this mirror that has like a shit ton of evil to it. And what happens is the mirror makes Lorraine go into labor. And this is when Judy's about to come and like she's premature, but comes out of it dead. Baby's dead. And then they start doing their whole religious thing. They're praying to God to bring Judy back, and Judy survives. So they almost lost Judy, and then it kind of goes through the years of her as a kid, and it's like, it's, I don't know, it's like the opening to fucking Coneheads, you know, where they're all... where, you know, you see, like, the mom and pop Conehead and the daughter, and it's like, you know, they're like the fun, happy family, and you see it growing through the years, kind of that thing, and it's fine. You know, they can show these things. It helps to build the story. But a lot of this just really went into Judy and how she has the same abilities as Lorraine. And every once in a while, they would dash in the actual story of the family that was being haunted. Mm-hmm. And it was so much bouncing back and forth. A lot of tug and pull of like, okay, cool. We're getting some cool horror stuff. And then, nope. We're going back to the family stuff. We're going back to the nice, nice cookouts, marriage proposals, and... like going
a lot of flashbacks. It relied on that flashback. And maybe that's why they did this, because we get a lot of those flashbacks of Ed and Lorraine when they were younger. So basically setting up that prequel we were talking about.
Yeah. So maybe they're going with those two actors as the leads for the prequel. And if so, all right, cool.
How can they not at this point if they already cast them?
Yeah. Well, you know, they fucking do that shit. You know,
no, I know. But like if you already cast the two perfect actor and actress to be these two characters in the past life, why wouldn't you bring them back and not fucking recast them again?
I don't know. I mean, ask the same thing for The Flash. You know, the person that played Barry Allen in the friggin' TV show, he didn't get The Flash. He went to Ezra Miller. What? Ezra Miller?
Yeah, but then Ezra Miller got canceled for being a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a fucking maniac.
So then he got recast. Yeah.
Oh, he got recast again?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I didn't even realize he got recast. I actually enjoyed that Flash movie. I liked it. But yeah, he's a maniac, that one. So I went into this with like pretty decent expectations. Though,
me too.
We heard some reviews and they weren't great. I mean, I look on Rotten Tomatoes though, and the critic reviews trashed it. You know, it's like it's at a low 50 or something like that. It's bad. But the audience had it around 79%, I think it was. So
okay.
I was like, okay, that sounds accurate. Usually critics are a bunch of assholes, as you're seeing us. usually we're a bunch of assholes about movies, and we'll just shit on it for the sake of shitting on it. And so I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going off the popcorn score, which is audience. That's what's important, is that the audience enjoyed it. I'm the fucking audience, and I didn't enjoy this. I was doing everything else other than really watching this movie.
I hate doing this, but I can't tell you how many times I paused it and I would do something else.
Yep.
And then I would go back to it. Like I have like, we both do. We both have ADHD, but I could not help. I could not stay focused on this movie for whatever reason.
Yeah, man. Same for me. I was taking notes and then at some point I just stopped and I went, oh yeah, I should be taking notes. I wasn't even like sucked in or anything like that. I was just like, I was on my phone. I like looked at the time. I think I paused it at one point as well. I was doing everything that you should not be doing during a movie. If you're that disinterested in a movie, it's not a good movie.
Yeah, it was. They just, I want to say cash grab.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the intention to wrap up the story of Ed and Lorraine or if it's maybe Patrick and Vera are just retiring the characters, similar to what we were talking about earlier with Bruce Campbell retiring Ash. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to play the characters anymore.
Which is fair. A lot of characters or a lot of actors want to retire the character. I think that almost happened with Wolverine and Hugh Jackman, right? But
yeah.
Know, yeah.
But Ryan Reynolds got him to come back.
And you know what? If that's his swan song, hell yeah. That's a way to go. I mean, Logan was great.
Logan was great. I really hoped. I mean, they kind of did do it in Deadpool Wolverine, Old Man Logan a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
But I really want an Old Man Logan, like full length film.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read that comic, but
I haven't.
I love that story.
Yeah, Old Man Logan. Just sitting in a rocking chair. Back in my day.
just sharpening his claws while he's rocking in a chair.
Yeah, he's just keeping busy. You know, you gotta, you know, like you shake your claws at the clouds and stuff like that and just make fun of the youth, all that. So,
the youth.
The youths.
I'm sorry, what? The two what?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. The two defendants. So, this, okay, so we kind of go into this whole plot line about the mirror. That's like the overall idea is that it's all based on this mirror. And it's like the same as every other Conjuring movie. There's like one artifact or item or whatever that is always
cursed
and causing some fuckery. Annabelle caused a lot of fuckery. There was that toy, that spinning toy from the second one that like, you know, did shadows and shit. That was the artifact or whatever from the second one. I don't remember what it was from the third one. I want to say it was a knife or maybe a cross. Might have been a cross.
It's been so long, I couldn't tell you.
I don't remember it. Not that it's bad. I just, I watched the first two more than I watched the third. I've only watched the third, like, one time.
I've only watched most of these one time, although I did watch Annabelle a couple times.
Really? Okay.
And like I said, I like The Nun, and I watched La Llorona a couple times.
Yeah, they're all good watches. I mean, if you know what you're getting in for when you hop, like, just sit down and you watch a Conjuring Universe movie. And that's kind of what I was expecting with this one. But the idea here is that this mirror that Lorraine was in front of, you know, she goes into labor, all that stuff. They don't go back for this mirror, which they know is bad. And they probably should be taking it and bringing it to their house and putting it in that room. They didn't do that. So through the years, it gets passed around, all this stuff. And then we have like this new family who are celebrating confirmation for one of the daughters. And they're gifted this ginormous mirror, which is great. It's a great mirror. It's definitely a sex mirror because it's fucking massive.
Tommy Lee
it's
mirror.
It's a Tommy Lee mirror. And I mean, the dog's barking at it. Dogs, for some reason, they just fucking know something's wrong. So barking at the mirror right away. And, you know, she's grateful, but immediately fuckery happens, right? With she's trying to blow out this candle and the candle blows out before she even has a chance. And this is important because later on, she actually sees as like this was all recorded. She sees in the recording that there was some sort of demon that actually blew it out before she had a chance. And then obviously she gets chased by an axe wielding entity, which terrifying, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought he was terrifying. But the important thing to remember, too, is that this mirror was like cracked, and it was cracked initially from Lorraine. When she looked at it, she touched it with her psychic abilities or whatever, and the thing broke. But this one is probably my favorite part of this movie. Well, other than the axe-wielding entity chasing the girl around, which, like I said, was terrifying, the girl spitting up and vomiting glass.
Glass? Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that was cool.
You cringed during that, didn't you?
A little bit. I'm like, oh, because it was... You know, you see her coughing. What happened, though, is it imprinted onto her. It's like all these artifacts, they all imprint onto whoever has them. The cursed items, right? I should say cursed items. All these cursed items, they're like imprinting on people. And that's why these friggin' entities are able to hang out. And so the two girls in this household, they take this heavy ass mirror, bring it outside, and leave it for the garbage truck. And as they're eating breakfast, one of the girls, she starts coughing like crazy because the mirror is in the back of this garbage truck being crushed. You see her like vomit, and then she's vomiting blood, and then she's pulling glass out of her mouth. And I was like, that's so fucking sick. It was pretty gnarly. But that was probably my favorite part of this whole friggin' movie.
I think that's one of the things for me, similar like anything with like fingernails to you, is glass in the throat.
Yeah.
For me. What other movie was it that, was it Evil Dead? The new one?
Oh, yeah. Because she's just like eating glass and it's just like going down and cutting the throat.
And you can see it poking through her neck?
Yeah, Evil Dead Rise. Fucking gross. So gross.
Yeah, that one gets me every time
that's
I see that.
That's yours.
Shit.
Okay.
It might be glass in the throat.
Glass in the throat. Because that really will fuck up your shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're in trouble if you're swallowing glass. Because it's like, oh, not only is my like the back of my throat being cut, but just all the way down my esophagus, straight into mm-hmm. my stomach, and you just
getting hacked up.
Yeah.
And then you're shitting glass.
Oh God. Yeah.
Your intestines are, you get caught up on both ends on the inside.
Oh man. It's like one man, one jar.
No, wasn't it called, was it One Man, One Jar? I know what you're talking about, where he sits on the jar.
Yes.
Was it One Man, One
I
Jar?
I thought so. I'm not going to look it up. I don't want to be on that FBI most wanted list for that shit. Like
we all saw that shit when we were like 12.
Yeah. If you don't know what it is, don't look it up. And now everyone's going to look it up.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
They just saw their website traffic skyrocket because of our listeners.
Yep. They're like,
all two of
what
them.
Is this one man, one jar deal? Oh my God. Oh my God. So I think I could just skip ahead a little bit because not a lot happens. I assure you, it's just fucking filler stuff until maybe the priest goes and visits the house that's supposed to be the primary house in this whole movie. And he ends up hanging himself in like a church, which
yep.
I thought that was pretty wild. I thought something weird happened with him, like he died, because he was just hanging out in that room, just waiting to speak with like an archbishop or something like that. Something of like higher than a priest or a father, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's just sitting in this room waiting and everything just goes black. Secretary's gone. There's like a janitor was buffing the floors and there's like a tight wire. And then like this entity attacks him, which is kind of weird. So I don't know if this entity is just latching onto people wherever they go, because in theory, it should not have left anywhere. It should have stayed at the house, right?
That's how it typically works.
That's how it typically works. It's contained in that area. And I guess it followed the priest back and forced him to kill himself via hanging. And this is where it kind of kicks off. And how far are we into this movie at this point?
We're at the end.
We're basically at the end. I swear there's like 20 minutes left.
I hope we're at the end.
That's like 20 minutes left in the movie and something pivotal finally happens. It's fucking weird, man. It's weird that it took so long for anything to just really happen. I mean, like in the movie, like I said, we're having all these friggin' happy-go-lucky moments of Judy. She's dating this guy and he proposes to her after dating for 6 months. There's like a lot of good in this movie and not a lot of chaos. And I want my chaos. That's what I'm fully expecting. If this was going to be the last movie, the last investigation that they do, I am expecting, you know, insanity. I'm expecting actually, well, obviously Ed's not going to die because we know the whole story. It's all based on a true story. But yeah. I expected something a little bit more interesting at the end. There's not much I want to talk about with this. So Lorraine knows there's something wrong with her daughter, and she knows that there's a lot of stuff that she's trying to hold back because she has like the same psychic abilities. Judy's able to see and speak to ghosts or spirits or whatever. And Lorraine is trying to train her to like shut this shit out so you can live a normal life and not have to be basically cursed by that shit. Because, I mean, that's a bit of a pain in the ass. Like, last thing I want to do is be dealing with ghosts as I'm out and fucking doing shopping for groceries. I mean, it's the last thing I want to do. I just want to get my groceries and get the fuck out of there.
Going grocery shopping sucks enough.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to get my shit and go. I don't want to have to fucking deal with that and go, oh, fuck, let me get the Bible and get you the fuck out of here. So at this point, Judy is now engaged. They're going to try on dresses. And this is what I mean, Corey. It's just a lot of this. You know, it's just, I mean, feel free to chime in here because I need something chaotic to talk about. Remind me.
Yeah, how about our ratings?
Our ratings?
Our final reviews.
Oh, my God. But we still got time. This is like, I know it's 30 screams or less, but we can't be too less. You know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, we're almost at that point anyways. We could technically go into our reviews, but I'll touch up on the end just a little bit. So, same thing happens in every single Conjuring movie. They don't want to help the people, and then it's like, Ed, we have to help them. And it's like, oh, okay. That type deal. Well, I guess we'll do it. So this time, though, it wasn't Lorraine that was saying it. It was the daughter. The daughter sensed shit was going on because she touched the priest's casket as they were at his funeral. And she's like, I have to go to those people and help them. She drives all the way down to Pennsylvania to be with those people. And naturally, the fiance and the parents, they all drive down. And the daughter is now like, we have to help them. And Ed is just like, oh, okay.
Why not? Okay.
It's the same thing over and over, which, whatever, it's fine. That's what you expect. You expect Lorraine wants to help and save these people. Ed's reluctant because of he thinks she can't deal with it, or he's worried about his heart or something. It's one of like those two things. And they do it, and they get the job done, and the family's happy and all that stuff.
There were several times in this movie, though, where, like, they made references to Ed's health.
Yeah.
Like, he went to that doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe they're going to kill him.
See, that's what I was thinking.
Because that would have been, I don't know. They could have, but I don't know. I know they were trying to base it on a true story.
Yep. So.
And they don't, I mean, it's not necessarily a storyline that someone wrote.
Yeah. And you know what I've never understood about in movies is that when someone has, like, a heart problem, they take this medicine, right? And they swallow it, and it's almost like gone immediately. Like, that's not how medicine works. That shit needs to digest a little bit before your heart can be like, okay, we're good. Let's. But no, they just swallow the pill, and they're like, it's like, that's what happened with Ed as well. He takes the pill, and he's like, oh, my pillow. Okay. I'm glad I'm not dying now. So they go to the house. They do their typical Conjuring shit, but they don't really even go into much of the investigation of the house. Lorraine just does a little walk around. She goes downstairs. She sees the axe-wielding guy. Ed comes down, gets her out of there. She tells Ed that there's three entities in the house, but there's actually a bigger entity behind them that's like forcing them to do shit and fuck with the family. So it's like, okay, so there's like four entities happening. And I'm like, okay, well, this could be interesting. So they go in, and like we cut right away to them just trying to get the mirror out of the attic. And then there's nothing in between that. It jumps so fast. It's like they already know. Like Judy went upstairs and saw the mirror was up there, and she came down. And then the next thing, they're already upstairs. They're moving the mirror out of the house. And more shit goes down. The fucking mirror is just going crazy. Judy is possessed at this point by one of the entities out of nowhere. And then they start basically fighting a mirror.
I can't believe those words just came out of your mouth, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I fight myself in the mirror every day. So
that's fair. I fight you in the mirror, too.
Do you? What am I doing in your mirrors?
I don't know. You're haunting my house, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. So, apparently I'm haunting Corey's house. You know, I mean, it's what I do when I'm bored. You know, I just go to Corey's house. I hang out. I fuck with his shit. His dogs are always barking. I wonder why.
Right?
That's me.
Your ghost.
That's me fucking with Gracie and Fred.
Your ghost, that's a lot. Like, on the physical plane.
Yeah, on my astral body. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to nap for a second. My astral body is just like, I'm going to go fly over to Corey's house and fuck with his ducks. So Ed's doing, like, he's reading from the Bible. The mirror is fucking spinning on a fucking axis type deal. And the Bible catches fire, which, like, okay, this is pretty fucking evil. Then you see, like, the three entities in the mirror. You don't see the main one, though. We never see that.
Nope.
Ever. So that's never really explained. All we're seeing is that it's three entities inside a mirror, and that's it. So, you know, they fight it as a family. You know, they all put their... they all...
As a family, they fight the mirror.
They fight the mirror. Fight the mirror! I feel like that should be like a power metal song.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can hear that in like a falsetto, like a Rob Halford falsetto.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. That should be a Judas Priest song all day.
Yep.
Fight the mirror! Come out! Okay, so... They're fighting a mirror.
He comes out on the when they play live, he comes out on his little motorcycle thing and there's a mirror in front of him and he just fist fights a mirror.
Yeah, of course. Oh,
while singing Fight the Mirror.
Or okay, I'll do you one better. Like he drives through a mirror and it comes out the other side is Rob fucking Halford. Just
so what does he drive through the mirror as?
What's that?
What does he drive through the mirror as if he comes out as Rob Halford?
Younger Rob Halford?
Okay.
So, you know, we still got the like the hair, and he's like, I'm your turbo lover. So, yeah, no, he looks like that. And then he comes out, and he's Elder Halford.
So he's present day Halford?
Present day Halford, yeah. Oh, my God. So, yeah, they're all putting their hands up against the mirror, and they're doing their prayer stuff. The fiance is underneath the mirror getting all sorts of fucked up, and it, like, shatters. And no, wait, it doesn't shatter. It like just
doesn't it just crack like it did in the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, it just like cracks and like stops and falls and like that's it. And it's like, okay. Next we go into like a nice scene, pretty much like every other Conjuring movie. You know, it ends with like that high note of like something happy. Whether it's Ed and Lorraine, you know, they're hanging out with their daughter, having a good time, whatever. This one was like the wedding scene where Judy's getting married to the like, you know, the fiance, they're having a good time. Lorraine and Ed are dancing. They're talking about their future with grandkids and all this stuff. And they're not doing any of the haunts anymore. They're just going around showing the new crop how things are done, writing books, all that. So I was fully expecting another one of those fuckery type deals. Like, you know, they do like that little jump scare thing at the end. It's not even really a jump scare. It's almost like a prelude to shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the first one was like a zoom in on Annabelle or like the second one was like something like that with the spinning circus looking tent thing. But they didn't do anything like that. It was really just end scene, fade to black. And that's it. And, you know, then we got our like the original footage of them, photos, things like that in the credits. But that's it. So we got a happy ending.
Gotta be. And I get it from the viewpoint of this particular film where it's supposed to be the last one. Mm-hmm. You know, I completely understand why they ended it on a happy ending,
sure.
But I don't know. It just felt a lot left to be desired.
Yeah, I honestly think we should get into it. these reviews are going to be fun. God, Corey, oh shit! I wanted this to be so much better. I was excited. I was really excited about this. I'm like, oh fuck, it's on HBO Max. All right, cool. Gonna watch it. All right. Corey, what did you give The Conjuring Last Rite?
Shockingly, this is not a 1 out of 5. It's going to get a 2 out of 5 for me.
Okay.
Simply because it's a Conjuring film. I mean, these are basically legendary. It's a legendary franchise, right? But for a franchise that's been rock solid for years, this movie was an absolute clown show. It had no idea what it wanted to be. Horror? Drama? Sleep aid? Who knows? Vera and Patrick basically carry this entire universe on their backs. Yep. And this final installment thank them by tripping over its own feet and face planting straight into the fucking dirt. Honestly, if I ever need something to help me fall asleep faster than the THC gummy, this is getting put on immediately.
Damn. Yeesh. Ooh.
Wrap it up.
End Corey, fade to black. Holy shit. You know, I did want to talk about the acting. The acting was fine. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, they kill it every single time in every one of those movies they're in.
Mm-hmm. They do.
So this was nothing that had to do with acting. This was a writing and directing fucking, like, chaos.
I don't know why they couldn't get James Wan involved in this final one. Like, I don't know if it was a money thing or if he didn't want to be involved, but they needed him for the send-off.
He knows this franchise.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I just don't get it.
He should have been in charge of that. He should have been like, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'm going to do this final one, and it's going to be the final swan song of The Conjuring. And I bet he could have done a better job. I'm going to go into my review now.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah, okay. Same thing.
Because I'm sick of this shit.
I know you're sick of this shit. Whatever. So same thing. I'm going to go with a 2 out of 5 on this.
I'm shocked.
For The Conjuring Last Rites. And honestly, that feels generous. But the same thing. It's The Conjuring. So I didn't want to give it a 1. I was so fucking tempted to give it a 1, though. Let me tell you. But I was like, I can't do it, The Conjuring dirty. I've loved this universe for years, but this installment is a clear misstep and a masterclass of cash grab.
You better watch out saying that word. Our fan on YouTube is going to come us again.
Well, you know what you do? Like Pee Wee Herman's show, right? Where every time you say like the word of the day, we'll say masterclass, and it's like, oh, you know, everything goes crazy.
Like the wacky wailing inflatable arm flailing tube.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. And then you have Cherry just being like, oh, and then like the pterodactyl in the background and all sorts of shit. Yeah, all that stuff. The story is unfocused. The pacing is rushed, especially in the third act, and the emotional stakes feel forced rather than earned. There are a couple solid moments in this movie, like the axe-wielding entity and the blood and glass scene, like where the girl's throwing up glass and blood, but they're not enough to save what ends up being a messy and disappointing finale to an otherwise strong franchise. Mm-hmm. I can't recommend this one unless you're a completionist. If you do watch it, keep your expectations extremely low. The Conjuring Last Rites is streaming now on HBO Max. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies, and be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.